Turn our Bibles to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. How many of you enjoy a good storm? Huh? Come on, I enjoy a good storm. When it's about 100 miles away, I can see it. How would you like to see a storm like that? Wow. How many of you have seen a storm like that? How many have been in a storm like that? That's a wild storm. That is both powers coming down upon the earth, and you have, wow, double whammy. And you have this. In Matthew 14, Jesus had some storms of life. In Matthew 14, verse 13, Jesus' storm. Put Jesus' storm up next. To realize that Jesus, in Matthew 14, just learned that John the Baptist lost his head. And in these verses, he tries to go grieve somewhere. Did our Savior grieve? Yes, yes, he hurt. This was John the Baptist, one of his best buds. And he lost his head for saying to the king, "It's unlawful do you have your brother's wife." He could have been quiet, but he spoke up. John the Baptist, strong man, lost his head. This is the first martyr. And Jesus heard this. It says in Matthew 14, 13, when Jesus heard it, he departed and tried to get to a desolate place apart from the people, but the people kept at him. So Jesus has storms. We have storms. We have massive storms. Look at this one. Now that's a storm. I tell you. You probably have to have planes for that out in some of the flat lands of Phoenix, Arizona or whatever, some deserts, and you're just a massive storm. You can have a massive storm in your life. Is God with you in the storm? I mean, a terrible storm. Terrible storm. Ron Lee is down with her brother in Decatur, Illinois, and he has Alzheimer's, and she went to visit another family, whole different family members of her dad, and put them all together, but it's just terrible. The wife of her brother with Alzheimer's, she has to take care of her mother and her husband, and she has no time. And Ronnie feels for her, so she goes down and gives her some time and some enjoyment and spends some of my money. She tells me how much money she saved me. I haven't figured that out yet. How do you save money when you spend money? Please, some of you ladies, tell me. Yeah, that's a joke. That's a joke. But storms in life, they're there. This next picture is a wild picture. I want you to take time to look at it. Look at this storm. This storm is way up in the air. Notice the sun is shining, so it's a beautiful day, and all of a sudden the storms come. Do storms come that way in our lives? Tragedies, troubles, disappointments, you know, all kinds of difficulty, disagreements. And this storm, note that first it's traveling this way above, and then all of a sudden out of the middle of it, it comes down and goes down. And it was not your storm at one time. And then it became your storm. And the sun was shining. Now, you could preach a whole message on this picture. That's a wild picture, isn't it? Hope it's real. But wow, some storms can be devastating in our lives. And then storms are down the road. You ever see a storm? It's down the road. You know it's coming. You know there's an impasse and there's going to be some conflict in our family or whatever. It's down the road and you see it. And you don't quite know what to do about it, but it's coming. Those are tough times, aren't they? It's coming. It's coming. Is God still with you during the storm? Yes, He is. Will you have to go through the storm? Yes. It's coming. You see, it's coming. And then you have storms that are just little storms. Just one. Everyday storms. We need to note that we need to make it through the storms of our life. And each of us has them. Is that right? We could all testify to that. And if you have people, if you have family, if you're trying to do something for God, you know, there's difference of opinion, difference of styles, difference of people. Is that right? It's tough getting along with everybody. Ron Lee's got to get along with me. And it's important that we realize storms will come. Trials, troubles, tribulations, temptations, disappointments, disagreements will come. What do you do in the midst of the storm is the issue. What do you do when you're in the midst of the storm? The midst of the storm, you got to know that Jesus is with you. God will be with you in the storm. And our subject is Jesus walking on the water. Notice this picture. The storm is below, but above the clouds are starting to change. Is that right? That's the picture there. He's with us. His hand is with us in the midst of the storm. Hope you know in the midst of a storm that God will be with you. And this disagreement, this marital problem, this family problem, this teenage problem, is that right? God will be with us. There will be problems. He didn't promise to keep us from the storms of life. He promised to be with us and to see us through them. And that's what's really important to catch that. In the midst of the storm, you got to keep something together. You got to keep your God time, your Father time together. Let's all look at this. Chapter 14, verse 14, 15, all the way to 23. Jesus is here. He's hurting. He's hurting. John the Baptist just got his head cut off. Jesus is grieving. Jesus is praying. Jesus is hurting. Jesus is weary. He tries to go by himself. Keep reading. Verse 14, 15. A bunch of people knew where he was going, come there, brought all the sick people, and he had compassion on them. And then he tried to get them to disperse, and they were there, and there were too many there, and they were hungry. And the disciples tried to send them away. And then Jesus said, "Sit down, and how many loaves and fishes do we have?" And he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's not much. When you're in trouble, do you like a lot more resources? Huh? That's not much. And he said, "Set them all down, we'll feed them." And I'm certain the disciples saying, "Right, you know, right." And he break it, verse 19, he gave thanks. Verse 20, they all ate, they were filled. There were 12 baskets over for the 12 disciples to realize, "I have more than when I began." And he said, and he fed 5,000, not including women and children, probably 10,000, maybe even 20,000. Had a lot of children. And then he told the guys to get in the boat so he could go up on the mountain to pray. And it says, in verse 23, he says, "And when he had sent the multitude away," there's a time to, you're too busy ministering, "he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come," he was what? Alone. Your God time, your Father time, your time of devotion, your time of prayer. You need that terribly. When we get busy, when you get busy. Do we live in a busy society? Oh my. We're getting too busy with all of the sporting events, with all the family events, with all of the activities of life, all work events, and all of the events that we have, church events. You can get so busy that your God time drops. And if you let your God time drop, you are in trouble. You can still function, but you're in trouble. You got to have a good God time. It can't be dull. It's got to be dear. It's got to be the desire of your soul. It's got to be alive. And Jesus' God time. You notice he could have ministered all the time, but he stopped. And he got alone with God. And he prayed. And he talked with God. And he thought. And he got quiet in his soul. And he tried to understand John the Baptist dying and all of those functions. And to realize God's with me. God knows what he's doing. I can trust him. Do you have to sit down and talk yourself through all that stuff? You do. You do. So did Jesus. In his humanity, he needed to do that. And I challenge you, your Father time is so important. Your time with God, if you're not careful, your Christianity will come duty. Is that right? You're just there. You pray in the morning, you pray at mealtime, you read your Bible, don't get much out of it. You go through the day, it's frustrating, you're getting mad, and nothing's happened the way it is, and all the plans are going sour. You need some Father time. And if you don't get it, you'll go to pieces. And that's very, very important. The disciples in the boat needed some God time. In Matthew 14, Jesus came walking on the water, and there were 11 of them still in the boat. And they weren't involved with Jesus. They saw Him. They were afraid. They cried out. They didn't cry out to God. And all of this, Peter jumped out of the boat, but they stayed in the boat. And then Peter and then Jesus got into the boat, and it says they worshiped Him. I want you to know, Peter out in the boat worshiped more than the guys in the boat. The guys in the boat didn't see what God did. Couple of the accounts of this event in the other Gospels do not even include what Peter did. We don't know why. Maybe some of them were tired and wouldn't want to put it in because Peter sank. But I want you to know, Peter found Jesus. Put it up next. Put up the next one. Peter got out of the boat. I encourage you in life, you got to get out of your comfort zone. And when it comes to us in VBS, we're going to be the drama people doing it up here. You think they might have all kinds of talent and all kinds of free will to act all of this? Most of them have a tough time. Huh? But God does it. When you can, He does. And to realize, I gotta have some kids to come to VBS. I don't know any kids. Well, go find some. Just like candy, man, get you a pile of candy and go find some. Or buy some ice cream cones. You'll find some kids. And we gotta have some kids here. Do you know, a couple years we've had more workers than kids? I don't want that. We're ready for a bunch of kids. All each of you have to do is to bring two or three. Is that too much? Please take it. It's my VBS. And here, Jesus was on the water walking to them, and Peter saw Him, and he says, "Lord, permit me to come on the water to you." I don't know why he did that. Was Peter pretty impulsive? Yes. My goodness. Peter, when Jesus said, "Throw your nets on the other side," they threw their nets on the other side and they come up with all kinds of fish, and they were saying, "Oh, wow, it's a miracle." And one guy said, "It's the Lord on the shore." What did Peter do? Jumped in the water and swam to Jesus and hugged Him and, "You're the greatest." When they were on Mount Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John were there, and Elijah was there, and Moses was there, and after a while, you know, who could talk on Mount Transfiguration? Peter says, "It's good that we're here. Why don't you keep quiet?" He opened his mouth way too much. Jesus had to rebuke him way too much, okay? But he was the man. "Lord, let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Oh, you know, Moses sitting there going, "Who's this guy?" Peter loved Jesus. You hear me? Peter loved being around Jesus. Peter wanted to be with Jesus every time. Always stuck his foot in his mouth all the time. Peter wanted to protect Jesus. "Lord, you can't go to the cross. You can't go to Jerusalem. You can't die." What did Jesus have to say to him? "Get thee behind me, Satan." And here's Peter. Peter, standing in the boat, scared to death, been 8 or 9 hours rowing, they're wore out, watered, soaked, and thinking they're going to die, and they see this something coming towards them, didn't know what it was, and then they realize it's Jesus. One text that says he made that he was walking by them. Hey! Can I walk out on the water? I think he's already a little past them when Peter. You know, hey, can I walk with you? Not necessarily get in the boat. He wasn't thinking about the boat. He got out of the boat. Peter, I don't know what he was thinking, but as much as I can tell, and a lot of commentators say this, I want to be in on the miracle. There's a miracle happening here. And he's the miracle man. And we've seen him feed the 5,000. We've seen him raise the dead. We've seen him heal the sick. We've seen him do a lot of stuff. But he's walking on the water. And I'm right here. And I could walk with him. Do you want to be with Jesus? Do you want Jesus' miracle power flowing through your devotions, your prayer life, your time with Him, your meeting with Him, your worship? Worship isn't coming to church and singing songs. Worship is being thrilled. So many times we're not careful. Our devotion, our time with God can become dull, can become duty, and we forget that it needs to be divine and dear. And Peter, I want to be in on the miracle. Jesus can't know. Everybody else is sitting in the boat, not saying a thing. And he gets out of the boat, and I purposely put a picture of him on top of the water because he was on top of the water for a while. Huh? Don't forget that. He did sink, but he was on top of the water for a while. And after Jesus picked him up, he was on top of the water walking back to the boat. And the guys were still in the boat. That's why I like Peter. God, I want to be in on this miracle. We're going to have miracles happen here in our church every Sunday. Next Sunday's going to be great. Next Sunday's going to be great. The time with VBS is going to be great. Our Tuesday time at IFCA. You got to come. You got to come. I'm kind of forcing you to come, but you got to come. Well, it's my bedtime. You know, I went to bed after midnight last night and got up at 6 this morning. Come on. And it's important. We got to get in on these times. And only come. It's never been in South Bend. Never. And which is right here in our backyard. So we got to get involved. We're going to have Brother Korn here for 14 meetings in the fall. We're going to see 3,000 people come here and a bunch get saved. Amen? I want to be in on it. I want to be in on it. That's him. And I want my devotional time, my God time, to be alive and kicking. And you got to fight for that because there's all kinds of distractions. Is there? Is there not? Well, what am I going to do today? You know, I got this plan today. This going sour. This relationship's bad. My kids are bad. You know, this is bad. Or you can just be distracted over all the life's storms. Or you can keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And to do good in our VBS, with all of us working together, we got to have a good God time every day. I challenge you to realize, I want to be in on the miracle. Can I walk on the water, Jesus, like you are? I want to see you talk to me every day in my Bible. I want you to answer my prayers. I want you to move in my life to meet the right people and talk to the right people and care for the right people and love the right people. Huh? I want to be used of you. Man, that was the key. Put the next slide up. To realize your ministry time. The ministry time, if you're not careful, your ministry time will just become duty. If you've been to church for 100 years, done 50 VBSs, that's right? No. It's just every day your father time and your ministry time. Oh, there will be differences and it's hard to get along with everybody and everybody has different opinions and different things. But I'm doing this for God. And it's alive and it's divine. It's not duty. Do your church time. You're coming to church. It's find God here every day. Find God here every service. Find God in your ministry. Don't just let it become something that's duty. You have to. You signed up for it. No. God and I talk every day and there's troubles every day. But He is with me and He will see me through and He will never forsake me. So God and I are going to make it, and it's going to be all right, and He has a purpose. Put the next one up. He has a purpose for everything we do. God has a purpose for your pain, a reason for your struggle, a reward for your faithfulness. Trust Him, and don't give up. Is that right? That's so important. Put the next one on the bigness of God. It says, don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell your storm how big God is. That's the truth. And you realize, God, that's good. Put the last one up. There's going to be storms. What you do during them? Keep your father time alive. Or else you'll start fussing and fuming and quarreling. And is that right? And then when your ministry time, keep it alive too. It's divine. It's just not duty. I want to be in on the miracle. If you can read the Bible and God talk to you, I want to read the Bible and God talk to me. If you get your prayers answered, I want to get my prayers answered. If God uses you in somebody's life, I want God to use me. And I want to keep my ministry. I want to be in on the miracle and realize that God has a good purpose and a good plan for everything's going on, and He's going to reveal it to me in His time. I'm going to play a song for you right now. It's called, I Will Praise You in the Storm by Casting Crowns. It's a great song. Got the words up here. It says, and I'll praise you in the storm, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You will never let me go. And through my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. Listen to the words here and let them speak to your hearts. Play it for us, please. Make some commitments.
Sure by now, God, you would have reached out and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through.
Says, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen? You will have storms. God is with you during the storm and will see you through and has a plan and a purpose for it. Keep your father time divine and dear. And don't let it get dull. And the area of just saying God, don't let it become duty. And then desire with all your being, I want to be in on the miracle. Huh? And to keep, you know, people and struggles and difficulties and all of that, it's for God. And I'm going to work with Him and He's going to work out those issues. I'm going to keep my time with God alive. And I want to be in on the miracle. If God's talking through the Bible, it's going to be, I want to be in on it. He's answering prayers, I want to be in. If He's going to save some people at VBS, I want to be in on it. Huh? Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Preacher, I needed this sermon. I want to keep serving you. Not because of how people praise or what people do. I'm in this for you, and I want to be in on the miracle. Keep my time with God, my Father time alive. I need this morning. Can I see your hand? I needed this. I needed this. I needed this. I needed this. I needed it. I need it every day. Keep it alive. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian, and I don't have nobody with me in the storms. They're just storms, and they come and they go, and I get devastated, and I don't have any real hope or courage or strength, and I just go to pieces. I need God. I need Jesus. I need to be saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, and I sure don't want to go to hell. Pray for me, preacher. Can I pray with you? Every head bowed, every eye closed, just you, me, and God. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Let me see your hand. Let me pray with you. Please, please. Lord Jesus, we give this day to you. Lord, thank you for Peter, even though he was very sporadic. And help us to want with all of our being to be in on the miracles happening in and around our lives and our ministry and our time with you. Lord Jesus, bring that alive and give us peace and joy and thrill serving Jesus, because you are with us in the storm. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen.